No. How should we set about finding out? Use our eyes? Think? Consult an oracle? Ask a scientist? Philosophy, thought of as a subject that you can study, be ignorant of, get better at, even be an expert on, simply means being rather more reflective about some of these questions and their interrelations, learning what has already been said about them and why. In fact, philosophy is extremely hard to avoid, even with a conscious effort. Consider someone who rejects it, telling us that philosophy is useless. For a start, they are evidently measuring it against some system of values. Secondly, the moment they are prepared to say, however briefly and dogmatically, why it is useless, they will be talking about the ineffectuality of certain types of thought, or of human beings' incapacity to deal with certain types of question. And then instead of rejecting philosophy, they will have become another voice within it, a sceptical voice, admittedly. But then philosophy has never been short of sceptical voices, from the earliest times to the present day. We shall meet some of them in Chapter 6. If they take the second of those lines, they may also be implying that making the discovery that human beings just can't cope with certain kinds of question, and making that discovery for yourself, and actually making it, rather than just lazily assuming that you know it already, isn't a valuable experience, or is an experience without effects. Surely that cannot be true. Imagine how different the world would have been if we were all convinced that human beings just aren't up to answering any questions about the nature or even existence of a god. In other words, if all human beings were religious agnostics. Imagine how different it would have been if we were all convinced that there was no answer to the question of what legitimates the political authority that states habitually exercise over their members. In other words, if none of us believed that there was any good answer to the anarchist. It may well be controversial whether the differences would have been for the good or for the bad, or whether in fact they wouldn't have mattered as much as you might at first think, but that there would have been differences, and very big ones, is surely beyond question. That how people think alters things, and that how lots of people think alters things for nearly everyone, is undeniable. A more sensible objection to philosophy than that it is ineffectual is pretty much the opposite, that it is too dangerous. Nietzsche called a philosopher a terrible explosive from which nothing is safe, though he didn't mean that as an objection. But what this usually means is that any philosophy is dangerous except the speaker's own, and what it amounts to is fear of what might happen if things change. It might occur to you that perhaps there are people who don't even think it worthwhile to enter into this discussion at all, however briefly, not even to support the sceptical stance that I have just mentioned. And you would be right. But that doesn't mean to say that they don't have a philosophy. Far from it. It may mean that they are not prepared to philosophize, to state their views and argue for them or discourse upon them. But it doesn't mean that they have no abiding values, nothing which they systematically regard as worthwhile. They might think, for instance, that real expertise at doing something is more desirable than any amount of theoretical knowledge. Their ideal would not so much be insight into the nature of reality as the capacity to become one with it in the execution of some particular activity, to have trained oneself to do something without conscious effort, as if by a perfectly honed natural instinct. I am not just making these people up. A lot of Zen Buddhist thought, or perhaps I should say Zen Buddhist practice, leans strongly in this direction. And this ideal of aiming at a certain kind of thoughtlessness was the outcome of a great deal of previous thinking. If philosophy is so close to us, why do so many people think that it is something very abstruse and rather weird? It isn't that they are simply wrong. Some philosophy is abstruse and weird, and a lot of the best philosophy is likely to seem abstruse or weird at first. That's because the best philosophy doesn't just come up with a few new facts that we can simply add to our stock of information, or a few new maxims.